There's Father's Day, and then there's Father's Day at Lowe's, where dad can experience it all. Like a Craftsman 224-piece mech set for $129. And a Blackstone griddle starter kit, including cover and accessories for $198. So this year, let dad loose at Lowe's. Home to any budget, home to any possibility. While supplies last, Craftsman tool set and Blackstone griddle starter kit offer available 6/10 through 6/23, U.S. only.
The Oracle Network.
Due to the mature content of this program, listener discretion is advised.
Thanks for tuning back into The Depth of Darkness, the podcast that dives deep into all things dark and wrong in this world. We're your hosts, as always. I'm Mandy.
And I'm retired Major Huge Ass. Coming at you. In your face.
Those are some extravagant farts.
Yeah.
Exquisite, as always.
More on
welcome
the
back,
side.
Everyone. Yeah, belligerent beef's all up in your face.
Yeah, belligerent beef coming at you.
Extra slappy. Today yeah. We'll be diving extra deep into another horrific serial killer. So sorry for anybody who's not here for true crime. You're getting it, and you're getting it real good.
Yeah, you're getting it in the face. I'm liking it.
Yeah, it's coming at you. You're going to like it. This one's a tad more well known, though. Yes.
What?
Among other things.
Just keep it out of your hair and eyes. What?
Oh. It explodes all over the place.
Okay.
So, let me know who you think this is before I give you the name. From crafting things from real human skin to having an entire movie, horror movie, at that, franchise created as a fictional spinoff to his heinous crimes, let's dive deep into today's disturbing killer. None other than... drumroll... Ed Gein.
All righty, then.
He was getting a little too rambunctious over there with his anal control. Take it away, Hugh, with the first article.
Ed Gein, American serial killer. Or so they think. All right, then. I've been waiting for this guy for a while. Ed Gein. In full, Edward Theodore Gein, also called the Butcher of Plainfield, born August 27, 1906, Plainfield, Wisconsin, U.S., died July 26, 1984, Madison, Wisconsin, American serial killer whose gruesome crimes gained worldwide notoriety and inspired numerous books and horror films. Gein endured a difficult childhood. His father was an alcoholic and his mother was verbally abusive towards him. Gein nevertheless idolized her, a fact that apparently concerned his older brother Henry, who occasionally confronted her in Gein's presence. In 1944, Henry died in mysterious circumstances during a fire near the family farm at Plainfield. Although Gein reported his brother missing to the police, he was able to lead them directly to the burned body when they arrived. Despite bruises discovered on the victim's head, the death was ruled an accident. The death of Gein's mother in 1945 left him a virtual hermit. In subsequent years, Gein cordoned off the areas of the house that his mother had used most frequently, preserving them as something of a shrine. Gein attracted the attention of the police in 1957 when a hardware store owner named Bernice Warden went missing. Gein had been seen with her shortly before her disappearance, and when law enforcement officials visited his farm, they found her body. She had been fatally shot and decapitated. Subsequent examinations of his home showed that he had systematically robbed graves and collected body parts, which he used to make household items, clothing, and masks. Also discovered on the property was the head of Barry Hogan, a tavern operator who had disappeared in 1954. In 1958, Gein's House of Horrors was destroyed by fire, the origins of which remain unclear.
Or horrors.
House of Horrors. Horrors.
You can't just keep sounding like horrors. I'm like, what?
Yeah, it did sound like horrors, didn't it? All right. Gein admitted to killing the two women, both of whom allegedly whores. No, that was horrors. Both of whom horrors, allegedly resembled his mother, but pled not guilty by reason of insanity. In late 1957, he was deemed unfit for trial and subsequently confined in various psychiatric institutions. In 1968, however, after it was determined that he could participate in his own defense, Gein was put on trial. He was found guilty of killing Warden, reportedly due to financial reasons. Prosecutors only tried one murder, but then was deemed insane at the time of the crime. He returned to a mental hospital where he remained until his death in 1984. Okay. Surprised he lived that long, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Gein's behavior inspired numerous books and movies, notably three of the most influential horror thriller films ever made. Psycho 1960, directed by Alfred Hitchcock, and based on Robert Bloch's powerful 1959 book, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And that was 1974, by the way. And The Silence of the Lambs, 1991. Ooh.
It rubs the lotion on its dinner else it gets the hose again.
Yeah. It puts the lotion on its skin.
It's a great scene. I'm sure all of our listeners have seen that movie.
Yeah. You had to have heard of that guy before. He's a psycho, number one.
Yeah.
He's premium.
Yeah. I actually didn't know that the Texas Chainsaw Massacre was fake. I thought it was real, and I didn't know it was kind of a... like a spinoff to Ed Gein. I didn't know that. I just found that out recently, and it blew my
especially
mind.
Especially since he's from Wisconsin, you know?
Yeah, completely different locations, but, you know, what? Whatever.
Yeah. No, mother, no! That was my Anthony Perkins.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you see Ed Gein, there's pictures of him, by the way, and he looks fairly normal. That's the really freaky part about it.
Yeah, he's not ugly by any means. He's not extreme. He's dead now. But he wasn't extremely hideous, and he wasn't good looking either. He was just normal looking, like he
just
was
average.
Blending with the crowd.
Like someone you'd see at the hardware store or something like that.
You would see him, and you'd be like, You wouldn't even bat an eye. You wouldn't think anything of it. And then you find out he does these disturbing, disgusting, heinous crimes. You're just like, ugh.
Yeah. Meanwhile, he's in there buying tools to like chop up bodies. What a guy.
Yeah, to peel their skin off.
Yeah, peel their skin off and make furniture.
Yeah. Some nice lampshades. They're all the new rage. Ugh. Alrighty. I'm going to move on over. And actually, Hugh, what was the article you just read? That was Britannica, right?
We got
to
cite our sources,
y'all. Okay.
Britannica.com.
We're going to leave all our references down below so you guys know we aren't, you know, BSing you or anything.
Yeah.
We cite our sources. We're doing good.
I'll try to be more thorough.
Yeah, but I'm going to move on over to Murderpedia.com because you know that sounds awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And this is going to be more than likely verbatim as well. But Gein was, some of it might be repetitive, but it seems like it goes in a little bit more detail here. Gein was born in La Crosse County, Wisconsin. His parents, George and Augusta Gein, both natives of Wisconsin, had two sons, which Hugh already mentioned, Henry George Gein and his younger brother, Edward Theodore Gein. Dun, dun, dun. Despite Augusta's deep contempt for her husband, the marriage persisted because of the family's religious beef. Religious beef.
Yeah, they had a lot of beef.
Belief about divorce. They didn't believe in divorce, so they wanted to try and salvage what they could.
Yeah.
Even though they hated each other.
Yeah.
Augusta Gein, the mother, operated a small grocery store and eventually purchased a farm on the outskirts of the small town of Plainfield, Wisconsin, again, as Hugh mentioned, which then became the Gein family's permanent home. So they made themselves at home just a state over from where I reside, and that's terrible.
Hey, I got an idea. Let's chop up some neighbors.
Ugh, that sounds great, Ma! Augusta Gein moved to this location to prevent outsiders from influencing her sons. All right. Good job there, Augusta. Good job.
Nice try.
Edward Gein, Yeah, Edward Gein, Ed Gein, the man we are talking about, left the premises only to go to school. Besides school, he spent most of his time doing chores on the farm. It's all right. I mean, he was a hard worker, at least. Yeah. Good for him. Augusta Gein, a fervent Lutheran, preached to her boys the innate immortality of the world. The evil immorality. Drinking.
Yeah.
Oh, what did I say? Immortality.
Yeah, you did.
My bad. The evil of drinking and the belief that all women, herself included, were prostitutes and instruments of the devil. Why would you call yourself a hoe? Like, I'm a prostitute too, son. You better stay away from me.
Okay. You got five bucks? Yeah.
Oh, God.
You got five bucks, Oedipus? No, I don't know. I don't know what that means.
She reserved time every afternoon to read to them from the Bible, usually selecting graphic verses from the Old Testament dealing with death, murder, and divine retribution. Dun, dun, dun. With an effeminate demeanor, the younger Gein, Ed Gein, became a target for bullies. So he was bullied, you can imagine. Yeah. I mean, most of these serial killers, I'm going to say it again and again, they either have mommy or daddy issues, or they get picked on, they're outsiders, they're secluded. I mean, you feel bad to them for some extent because their psychosis more than likely could have been prevented if they had a different upbringing and a different atmosphere around them.
Possibly.
That's what's so unfortunate, you know? Possibly. Maybe not, but more than likely, every single one has some sort of issue that is the same across the board. So I just like pointing that out, you know? Yeah, but classmates and teachers recalled off-putting mannerisms such as seemingly random laughter.
Yeah.
Like it sounded like a goat when I laughed.
Yeah.
It makes me think of the movie Joker with Joaquin Phoenix.
I think of Krusty the Clown laughing.
Well, like in the Joker where he's in the comedy club and he's just like, ha.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's what he was going for.
That could be.
I would start giggling myself. But so that was a big thing. His random laughter as if he were laughing at his own personal jokes. Who hasn't done that? I do that all the time. Am I a psycho serial killer? Nobody knows.
Yeah, nobody really knows.
I'm not.
Check that hoist in your garage and see if there's anything hanging there.
Yeah, and my meat hooks down in my cellar.
Yeah.
God. No. Classmates and teach up, I'm repeating myself. To make matters worse, his mother scolded him whenever he tried to make friends. What a biatch. Despite his poor social development, he did fairly well in school, particularly in reading. Okay, so he was a learned young lad. Gein tried to make his mother happy. But she was rarely pleased with her boys. Again, what a biatch. She often abused them, believing that they were destined to become failures just like their father. During their teens and throughout their early adulthood, the boys remained detached from people outside of their farmstead and so had only each other for company. Oh, that's so sad. Did we ever learn anything about his brother? Oh, no, his brother died, right?
Right. Accidentally. Kind of.
I hope it wasn't him.
With a bunch of lumps all over his skull.
You guys can see just from what we've gone over, Gein's childhood was from the lack of love and nurture from his parents and his loneliness that his mom instilled in him. And the outsiding, the way he felt like an outsider from his teachers, his school, his classmates, and his family, him and his brother both had to go through that, you know?
I mean, if you acted, well, they used to call it a femme, you know? If you were kind of wimpy back in the day, back in the old days. I mean, I only go back to the 60s as far as that goes, but if you were a femme, you got picked on. No doubt about it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, times have changed, definitely. The terminology, everything has changed since then, but I mean, there's still people like that today, and they still get picked on, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Even with the changing times, there's always going to be, you know, a predator and a prey. It's always going to be the case, regardless of how progressive the world becomes, or it's unfortunate.
It's gotten worse because of that.
They're always going to pick out who they deem weak, and it's sad. And unfortunately for Ed Gein, because of the way he was treated, because the way he was perceived as more effeminate, he got picked on. And I'm assuming if he was around today, people, you know, if he was a kid growing up in today's world, he might have not turned into a serial killer, you know, might have not. He still might have. If people still picked on him the way they did back then, I'm pretty sure it was probably worse back then. Pretty sure. But, you know, because with the changing times. But, all right, we're going on a tangent here. Let's go back to this article.
Right.
Let's go back to Murderpedia.
Going back to Murderpedia. After George Gein died of a heart attack in 1940, the Gein brothers began working at odd jobs to help with expenses. Both brothers were considered reliable and honest by residents of the community. While both worked as handymen, Ed Gein also frequently babysat for neighbors. That's a good idea.
That's
he enjoyed precious. Babysitting, seeming to relate more easily to children than adults. Henry Gein began to reject his mother's view of the world and worried about his brother Ed's attachment to her. He spoke ill of her around his brother. On May 16, 1944, a brush fire burned close to the farm, and the Gein brothers went out to extinguish it. Reportedly, the brothers were separated, and as night fell, Ed lost sight of his brother. When the fire was extinguished, he reported to the police that his brother was missing. When a search party was organized, Gein led them directly to his missing brother, who lay dead on the ground. The police had concerns about the circumstances under which the body was discovered. The ground on which Henry Gein lay was untouched by fire, and he had bruises on his head. Despite this, the police dismissed the possibility of foul play, and the county coroner listed asphyxiation as the cause of death. Although some investigators suspected that Ed Gein killed his brother, no charges were filed against him. After his brother's death, Gein lived alone with his mother, who died on December 29, 1945, following a series of strokes, at which time Gein lost his only friend and one true love. And he was absolutely alone in the world.
That's totally psycho. Like, I can see where they came up with that plot.
Yeah, it's
where he was
different.
Like looking like his mother. He was like obsessed with his mother.
No, mother, no. Gein remained on the farm, supporting himself with earnings from odd jobs. He boarded up rooms used by his mother, including the upstairs, downstairs parlor, and living room, leaving them untouched. He lived in a small room next to the kitchen. Gein became interested in reading death cult magazines and adventure stories.
Those are completely
concerning his
similar.
Arrest. Yes.
What?
On November 16, 1957, Plainfield hardware store owner Bernice Warden disappeared, and police had reason to suspect Gein. Warden's son had told investigators that Gein had been in the store the evening before the disappearance, saying he would return the following morning for a gallon of antifreeze. A sales slip for a gallon of antifreeze was the last receipt written by Warden on the morning she disappeared. Upon searching Gein's property, investigators discovered Warden's decapitated body in a shed, hung upside down by ropes at her wrists with a crossbar at her ankles. The torso was dressed out like that of a deer, and she had been shot with a .22 caliber rifle, and the mutilations performed after her death. Searching the house, authorities found four noses, four human bones and fragments, 9 masks of human skin, bowls made from human skulls, 10 female heads with the top sawed off, human skin covering several chairs, Mary Hogan's head in a paper bag, Bernice Warden's head in a burlap sack, 9 vulvas in a shoebox, skulls on his bedpost, organs in the refrigerator, a pair of lips on a drawstring for the window shade, a belt made from human female nipples, a lampshade made from the skin of a human face, and a partridge in a pear tree. These artifacts were photographed at the crime lab and then were properly destroyed. Properly.
I've seen pictures of that nipple belt. So gross.
Yeah, I don't see the nipple belt anywhere in that thing. I was looking. When questioned, Ed told investigators that between 1947 and 1952, he made as many as 40 nocturnal visits to 3 local graveyards to exhume recently buried bodies while he was in a daze-like state. About 30 of those visits, he said, had come out of the daze while in the cemetery, left the grave in good order, and returned home empty-handed. On the other occasions, he dug up the graves of recently buried middle-aged women he thought resembled his mother and took the bodies home, where he tanned their skins to make his paraphernalia. Gein admitted robbing 9 graves, leading investigators to their locations because authorities were uncertain as to whether the slight Gein was capable of single-handedly digging up a grave in a single evening. They exhumed two of the graves and found them empty, thus corroborating Gein's confession. Shortly after his mother's death, Gein had decided he wanted a sex change and began to create a woman suit so he could pretend to be a female. Gein's practice of donning the tanned skins of women was described as an insane transvestite ritual. Gein denied having sex with the bodies he exhumed, explaining they smelled too bad. During, during interrogation, Gein also admitted to the shooting death of Mary Hogan, a tavern operator missing since 1954. A 16-year-old youth whose parents were friends of Gein and who attended ball games and movies with Gein reported that he was aware of the shrunken heads, which Gein had described as relics from the Philippines sent by a cousin who had served in World War II. Upon investigation by the police, these were determined to be human facial skins carefully peeled from cadavers and used as masks by Gein. Washora County Sheriff Art Schley allegedly physically assaulted Gein during questioning by banging Gein's head against a brick wall, causing Gein's initial confession to be ruled inadmissible. Schley died of a heart attack in December 1968 at age 43, only a month after testifying at Gein's trial. Many who knew him said he was traumatized by the horror of Gein's crime, and that his that this, along with the fear of having to testify, especially about assaulting Gein, led to his early death. One of his friends said he was a victim of Ed Gein as surely as if he had butchered him. Trial. On November 21, 1957, Gein was arraigned on one count of first-degree murder in Washora County Court, where he entered a plea of not guilty by reason of insanity. Found mentally incompetent and thus unfit to stand trial, Gein was sent to the Central State Hospital for the Criminally Insane, now the Dodge Correctional Institution, a maximum security facility in Waupun, Wisconsin, and later transferred to the Mendota State Hospital in Madison, Wisconsin. In 1968, Gein's doctors determined he was sane enough to stand trial. The trial began on November 14, 1968, lasting 1 week. He was found guilty of first-degree murder by Judge Robert Golmar, but because he was found to be legally insane, he spent the rest of his life in a mental hospital.
All right, moving on to the very last bit of Ed Gein's demise, the aftermath. Yeah. On March 20th, 1958, while Gein was in detention, that just sounds like he was naughty in school, his house burned to the ground. Arson was suspected. When Gein learned of the incident, he shrugged and said, just as well. It's all right. In 1958, Gein's car, which he had used to haul the bodies of his victims, was sold at a public auction for $760, which would have been around $5,700. $718 when accounting the account.
Yeah, don't forget the 18.
Apparently.
Yeah.
The what? Oh,
don't forget the
18. $5,718 to be exact. And it was auctioned off to a carnival sideshow operator named Bunny Gibbons. Gibbons. Gibbons later charged carnival goers 25 cents admission to see it. Well, hey, there you go. Make your money, girl. I'm assuming, was that a girl? I don't know.
I'm hoping.
Bunny? So, and then going on to Gein's death, on July 26, 1984, Gein died of respiratory and heart failure due to cancer in Goodland Hall at the Mendota Mental Health Institute. Yay! His gravesite in the Plainfield Cemetery was frequently vandalized over the years. Souvenir seekers chipped off pieces of his gravestone before the bulk of it was stolen in 2000. The gravestone was recovered in June 2001 near Seattle and is now in a museum in Washora County.
Seattle.
Yep, it made its way all the way over there, all the way to the West
Coast. That place wasn't creepy enough. You got Ed Gein's tombstone there. All right.
Yeah. But yeah, that was quite a doozy, wasn't it? Damn. Making some nice lampshades and little doilies for his trinkets out of human skin.
Now, we didn't really go into that too much, but he made like lampshades and chair seats and all sorts of stuff out of human skin.
The one that got me, one was the nipple belt. That one's just beyond disgusting. The vulvas, that's just,
vulvas in a box.
I'm going to keep these for later.
I'm thinking he was going along trying to make that 12 Days of Christmas thing happen.
Probably. I was like, I'm going to make it real good.
Yeah.
But the one that really got me was the where he had the tops of people's skulls just in his house. Like, what did he use those for? Cereal?
I believe it was cereal bowls and ashtrays. Yeah. Ugh,
that's so gross. Ugh. That harvested someone's brain, and then here he is snacking out of it. That's just so gross. But
well, I could just see him walking around his house, you know, kind of dirty and naked and just talking to the skulls, you know. What are you looking at? So
shut up, you son of a bitch.
You want some more of this? Yeah.
You want a piece of me? Yeah, literally.
You want another piece of me?
Oh, that's awful.
What?
He probably did. But now that we've dived all kinds of deep into this disturbing case and all of its gory glory, if you want to call it that, let's dive even deeper into those closing statements. Whee! If you love our podcast and want to show your support, then please consider leaving us a rating and review on Apple iTunes or wherever else you can leave us reviews. Your reviews are what helps our show get noticed more easily and helps other listeners find our show a bit more quickly. Because sometimes, you know, people have similar podcast names. Ours is the one and only Depth of Darkness, though.
Your butt.
Because it should be. We're the original. Damn it.
Yeah, we're the original morons that started this whole thing.
Yeah, it's us. It's me. But by leaving a 5-star review, you'll also get one of our awesome Depth of Darkness stickers, as I've mentioned, ad nauseum, coming at you. But when you send us a screenshot of your review, so we know it actually went through and you're not just, you know, playing us for that free sticker, let us know where to send your sticker, and it's coming at you. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no scratch and sniff ones yet, though, to
yet.
Dismay, but it'll happen. We'll make it happen for you, Hugh. It's more for Hugh's enjoyment. Yeah, but to top that off, if you really love our weirdness and want to shower us with even more dark love, then consider joining us on our Patreon and becoming a member of our Dark Abyss. You'll not only get additional content each week, but you'll also get a ton of other incentives that are only exclusive to our patrons. So if you want to, you know, get a piece of that action, a bigger piece of huge ass.
You want a piece of me?
Want a piece of my ass? Definitely give our tiers a look. It starts off at just $1 a month, so you're sure to find a tier that works for you. And that's all for this week's episode, folks. I wanted to do the Porky Pig, but yep, that's all for...
Ebbly, 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 yep. That's all, folks.
Yeah. Thanks again for tuning in to the Depth of Darkness. Yeah, and until next time, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Get Dad what every dad wants for Father's Day. Lowe's. With items like Craftsman 20-volt drills starting at $59. And up to 40% off select Kobalt 40-volt max outdoor power equipment. This Father's Day, let Dad loose at Lowe's. Home to any budget, home to any possibility. While supplies last, Craftsman offer valid 6/10 through 8/4. Selection varies by location. Price shown with flex discount. Kobalt offer valid 6/10 through 6/23. U.S. only.
If you're addicted to love, get ready to binge your heart out. Stream exclusive originals plus the entire 90-day universe for just $4.99. Discovery Plus is the streaming home of relationships, plus so much more. Start your free trial.